The Holy Grail Body Transformation System, Part 1, Theory and Science. Gaining muscle and losing fat, the debate. Some bodybuilding experts call it body recomposition. Dan Duquesne was probably the first, while Lyle McDonald deserves a lot of credit for popularizing and keeping this neat little phrase alive. In his 1996 book, Duquesne wrote, "The dirty little aspect of weight loss that diets have to address is muscle loss. Whenever you reduce calories to lose body fat, you also sacrifice muscle. Sometimes it's a significant amount, other times it can be measured in mere ounces or grams. However, the status of your lean body mass directly affects both your metabolism and your ultimate shape. Replace, maintain, and increase muscle, recomposition accomplishes all three." Academic types call it concurrent hypertrophy and fat loss. Hypertrophy means muscle growth, and concurrent means at the same time. Whatever you call it, I use both phrases. Gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time is clearly the holy grail of body transformation goals. However, there's been an ongoing debate over whether this goal is even possible, and if so, whether it's a wise goal to pursue, or if a focused one-goal approach, also known as building or cutting, is more efficient. The experts are divided. Some advise that it's impossible to gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. Others claim that it's not only possible, but on their programs, larger muscles and a ripped physique are both guaranteed. A third group says, you can do it, but it takes a very systematic approach. It's most likely to happen under specific conditions, and there may be a compromise. You can count me in that third group. But who should you believe? And why is there any confusion at all? Can't this debate be settled easily with science? Well, even after looking at the science, it's still a difficult question to answer. How the body partitions energy and nutrients is so complicated, it can make your brain hurt if you start digging into the research. Can you gain muscle and lose fat at the same time? Like so many areas that involve the almost inconceivable complexity of the human body, the real answer is it depends. There are so many X factors that affect whether muscle is gained or lost and whether fat is burned or stored. It's not a simple cut and dried issue. The good news is, if you understand just a few of the key scientific principles that govern concurrent muscle gain and fat loss, and if you pay attention to real-world results, these complex physiological processes can be codified into a very simple and practical nutrition, training, and lifestyle plan. That's what this course on gaining muscle and burning fat is about. The core of the Holy Grail Transformation Program is a cyclical nutrition plan, and that's where our primary focus will go. What science and the real world say? Personal reports and my own measurements on clients with 15 to 20 pounds of fat loss with a 2 to 5 pound gain of lean muscle over 12 weeks are not uncommon. On muscle gaining programs, you might see an 8 to 12 pound muscle gain and a 2 to 3 pound loss of body fat, and that's also not unusual. Occasionally, although this is the exception, results on the order of 15 to 20 pounds of fat loss with a concurrent 6 to 10 pound muscle gain in 12 to 14 weeks have been documented. In one of our recent 49-day Burn the Fat Body Transformation Challenge contests, two of our male contestants, and surprisingly, one of our female contestants, they each dropped 7 to 8 pounds and gained approximately 7 pounds of muscle at the same time with little or no change in body weight. The body composition and the weight were self-reported, but the before and after photos were congruent with those results. And these types of results are not just anecdotal either. In one study published in the scientific journal Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, researchers from the United States Sports Academy studied a group of overweight sedentary men who followed a program of endurance and weight training exercise for 14 weeks. At the end of the study, the subjects had gained an average of 9.5 pounds of muscle and lost 16.3 pounds of fat. Now that is remarkable progress. An advanced bodybuilder would be thrilled to gain 9.5 pounds of muscle with no drop in body fat in a year, let alone in 14 weeks with a concurrent 16-pound fat loss. That might even make you wonder what kind of training program these guys were on so you could copy their routines. Well, don't bother looking up the study. The workout program was nothing unusual. They did 3 days a week of steady state cardio, 30 minutes of cycling and 30 minutes of walking at 60 to 70% of heart rate reserve. The weight training consisted of 8 exercises, 4 sets per exercise, 8 to 12 reps per set. So much for needing one of those super high-tech training programs you see advertised on the web. A good resistance training program is a must to optimize your chances of gaining muscle and losing fat, but the type of resistance training program is not the most significant factor. What was significant in these unusual cases with exceptional body recomposition was the fact that the men were beginners to training. It's also worth noting that they were overweight. We'll talk more about those X factors in a moment. Defining the same time. With this kind of scientific and strong anecdotal evidence, I'm not sure how anyone can still dispute that, at least over an extended period of time, weeks or months, it's possible to see an increase in muscle and a decrease in body fat. It can be done. It has been done. Most of the controversy and confusion revolves around your definition of the same time. The real question is, were these results really examples of gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time? Well, yes, if your definition of the same time is 7 weeks or 14 weeks. But in those scenarios, you don't gain muscle and lose fat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 14 weeks straight, which would be the same time, literally speaking. Okay, this is the key distinction of the Holy Grail program. What really happens is you alternate between periods of caloric surplus or an anabolic state and periods of caloric deficit or a catabolic state. See, your body is in a constant state of flux. Protein synthesis and protein breakdown, lipolysis and lipogenesis. The net result of the sum of all these processes over time dictates the change in your body composition. Our goal is to purposely manage this flux between surplus and deficit so the fat loss and muscle gain over an extended time period is the end result. Our tools of the trade are strength training, cardio training, complete recovery from training, optimal macronutrition and micronutrition, lifestyle strategies, and the ideal hormonal environment. This zigzagging of anabolism and catabolism happens to some degree whether you do it intentionally or not. Because keep in mind that on training days, you have a higher calorie expenditure than on rest days. So even if you keep your caloric intake from food exactly the same every day, if you're training, your state of energy balance still fluctuates. Even though many people maintain approximately the same body weight and body composition for years, to be in perfect energy balance all the time is somewhat of a misnomer. If body composition stays the same, it's the perpetual seesaw of anabolism and catabolism that has balanced each other out over time. So, having ruled out muscle gain and fat loss at the same time, literally, for the rest of this program, when we say the same time, we're going to be referring to a multi-week or multi-month period. Even when you define the same time as an extended period of weeks or months, gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time is difficult because these are really incompatible goals for your body to pursue. See, usually when you lose weight, body fat and lean tissue compartments go down together. Your goal on a cut, at least in the past, has been to keep the loss of lean tissue in the form of skeletal muscle to a bare minimum. On a muscle building program, usually both body fat and lean tissue go up together. Your goal on a muscle gaining program, at least this has been the approach in the past, is to keep the accumulation of fat tissue to a minimum as you gain lean body weight. The problem is keeping muscle loss and fat gains to a minimum on cutting or building programs, respectively, is easier for some people than for others. Most people who follow bodybuilding, and anyone who has read my previous book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, will be familiar with the concept of body types or somatotypes. You have the genetically gifted muscular endomorph, the skinny and naturally lean ectomorph, and the round fat-storing endomorph. While lifestyle and nutrition strategies can facilitate lean gains and fat losses, much of the equation is genetically governed. So to think that you can always be 100% in control of the partitioning of fat and muscle is overly optimistic. The late Gilbert Forbes, a physician and a renowned obesity researcher, performed hundreds of studies on energy partitioning and body composition during growth, starvation, and refeeding since he started in the field in the 1950s. He was arguably the preeminent expert on the subject. Forbes helped us answer the question with this statement from one of his research papers. For the most part, one is forced to the conclusion that the lean and fat components of the body are in a sense companions, a change in one usually being accompanied by a change in the other, and in the same direction. Energy balance provokes a change in many body components, not just fat. Translation, the body's most natural tendency is to lose some lean body mass when you lose weight and to gain some fat mass when you gain weight. To gain muscle and lose fat together is to battle your biology. Perhaps that's why people call it the Holy Grail, because it's so elusive. Concurrent muscle gain and fat loss, the exceptions, or the X factors. When you look at how our bodies are genetically programmed, it's remarkable and wonderful from a survival of the species perspective, but depressing from a looking good naked point of view. Sometimes it seems like our bodies don't want to be lean or muscular, let alone both at the same time. Nevertheless, a small handful of people achieve it. We've seen the results in the real world and in the research. How do they do it? That's what this program is all about. But it also depends a lot on the ideal conditions I mentioned earlier. As a general rule, you're unlikely to gain muscle and lose fat concurrently in very large amounts. However, there are exceptions to almost every rule, as in the case studies I mentioned earlier. Several conditions allow some people to make larger muscle gains and fat losses at the same time. Number one, beginners. Beginners' bodies are more responsive because they've never done weight training before. They're a long way from their genetic potential, so they have more room for improvement. The longer you've been training, which we call training age, so the higher your training age, the harder it is to gain additional muscle. Number two is muscle memory. Concurrent muscle gain with fat loss is often simply the regaining of muscle that had already been developed previously and lost after a layoff. It's easier to regain atrophied muscle than to build new muscle from scratch. Muscle memory, as this regain is called, it's not a bodybuilding urban legend. It's a real phenomenon and it does have a scientific basis. The X factor number three is genetics or somatotype. Genetic superiors, which are the mesomorph body types in particular, are more likely to lose fat and gain muscle at the same time. They have many inherited advantages, most importantly, advantages in muscle fiber type, muscle fiber number, hormone levels, as well as nutrient partitioning, including something known as the P ratio, which is the amount of protein deposited into tissues relative to the amount ingested. The X factor number four, drugs. Anabolic drugs or fat-burning drugs can obviously increase the probability of losing fat and gaining muscle at the same time, as well as the amount of muscle gained and the fat lost. When you look at these four X factors, you can explain most cases of exceptional body recomposition. Not surprisingly, these exceptions are usually the ones that end up in the before and after pictures for supplement ads. If you haven't watched the documentary Bigger, Stronger, Faster, it's quite enlightening, if not shocking, the way it reveals the extent and nonchalance of drug use in the bodybuilding and fitness industry. In one scene, the producer Chris Bell interviews fitness model and former supplement spokesperson, and I say former because he was fired after this interview, Christian Boving, and it was during a beachside photo shoot. Boving's shockingly honest confession speaks volumes on X factor number four. Here's how it went. Christian Boving said, "I saw Conan the Barbarian, the movie, and at that moment I said, that's exactly what I want to do. So I started to study Arnold and his achievements. I started training with weights when I was 14. I started taking steroids when I was 16. Chris Bell, "So you're advertising a supplement and a guy like me goes and looks in the magazine and I see Christian Boving and I'm like, wow, man, I want to look like that guy. So I go and take Hydroxycut or I take some supplement because I think I'm going to look like you, but what I don't know is that you were taking steroids. Do you have any problem with that?" Christian Boving, "If someone looks at an ad that says Christian Boving takes Hydroxycut, which I did and I do, that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't take something else. If they choose to believe that that's the only thing I'm taking, then so be it. They should be smarter than that. You see, excellent training and nutrition programs help, of course. But training and nutrition alone can't explain the extraordinary results that some people experience. Some supplements can be useful, but they don't help enough to account for extremely unusual gains either. More often than you'd imagine, steroids and other physique-enhancing drugs are the mysterious explanation. And remember, most users don't want you to know they're on the juice. I know some 40 and 50-something men who take growth hormone and testosterone, and they got the drugs legally and legitimately prescribed by a doctor for hormone replacement or anti-aging purposes. But I doubt whether they're not enjoying the side effects of better body composition, and yet some of them claim to be natural, or they just keep it a secret and they don't tell anyone. So don't underestimate how widespread drug use really is, not just among competitive bodybuilders and fitness models with supplement contracts, but among the recreational exercises and the average Joes you see in the gym. What I want you to know is that you can build a fantastic body drug-free, but it is important to know the truth about what goes on in the bodybuilding industry so that you and that the drug-free trainee can set realistic expectations. Training age, that also has a huge influence on your rate of muscle growth. As I mentioned before, the longer you've been training, the slower your muscle gains are going to occur. The closer you get to your genetic ceiling, the smaller the remaining room for improvement, and the slower your gains become. Even if the nutrition and training aren't perfect, most people make the best progress of their lives, especially muscle gains, when they're just starting out. That's what we call the infamous newbie gains. If you're a beginner trying to gain muscle and you're not getting any results, it's likely that you're doing something very wrong with your nutrition, training, and lifestyle. And I don't mean that to discourage you. That should be encouraging, by the way. Concurrent muscle gain and fat loss, more variables, the X2 factors. Just to give you even more understanding of how not cut and dried this whole muscle gain and fat loss process really is, and how much it depends on multiple factors, there are even more X factors to consider. How easily you lose fat or gain muscle is influenced heavily by your current body composition, are you lean or fat, by your current dieting status, are you dieted down or not dieted down yet, and I call these the X2 factors, and I put these together based on published research of DeLu, Forbes, and Hall. Here are the five X2 factors. Number one, overweight people are less likely to lose muscle in a calorie deficit. Number two, overweight people are more likely to gain fat while in a calorie surplus. X2 factor number three, lean people are more likely to lose muscle while in a calorie deficit. Number four, lean people are more likely to gain muscle while in a calorie surplus. And the last X2 factor, number five, lean people who starved or crash dieted are more likely to gain fat when they initially go into a calorie surplus. That's called fat rebound or overshooting. Now keep in mind, especially number three on that list, lean people are more likely to lose muscle while in a calorie deficit, let alone gaining muscle. That means that for physique athletes like bodybuilders or figure competitors, when they're heading into the home stretch of the contest prep period, holding on to lean muscle becomes a major concern and a very high priority, especially if they're drug-free. The message is, forget about gaining large amounts of muscle when you're extremely lean, you're dieting, and you're trying to get even leaner, or during the final stages of contest prep. You're going to look more muscular because the increasing muscle definition and muscle separation, but it won't be from an increase in body mass, unless you're some kind of genetic mutant, and those kinds of freaks of nature are known to exist. Why you don't gain muscle and lose fat at the same moment in time, literally speaking. By now, the picture should be getting clearer. Gaining muscle and losing fat concurrently is best explained as a process of moving in and out of within day and within week deficits and surpluses, bouncing back and forth between anabolic and catabolic states. But one question still remains. Why don't you gain muscle and lose fat at the exact moment in time? Some experts argue that you can be in a continuous caloric deficit for an extended period and use some of the energy from fat stores to build muscle. Theoretically, it seems possible, especially in overweight individuals, because there's an energy cost for building muscle, and you have plenty of energy stored when you're overweight. You could even find a rare study if you want some evidence that muscle gain in a severe calorie deficit is possible. For example, a 1993 study that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition concluded that weight training can produce muscle hypertrophy on an 800 calorie per day diet concurrent with large-scale 33-pound weight loss. At first, this seems to contradict the idea that concurrent muscle gain and fat loss is difficult. It also seems to upturn the entire premise of very low-calorie diets being harmful and nutritionally inadequate. But when you read the full paper, you see that the subjects were obese and probably beginners. There you have it again. It's almost a given that one or more of the X1 and X2 factors are there in every unusual case of concurrent muscle gain and fat loss. And you can't always extrapolate these results to the rest of the population. It's also worth pointing out that in this study, the muscle hypertrophy was seen specifically in the thigh muscles. The overall fat-free mass actually decreased. Most people who quote that study don't mention this. It's an interesting finding nonetheless, demonstrating that you could lose muscle overall but gain it locally in certain body parts that are resistance trained. But the theoretical possibility and the rare study notwithstanding, it's just not likely that you're going to use energy from fat to build muscle when you think about your body's survival mechanisms when you're on a strict diet. And remember the X2 factors, the leaner you get and the longer you've been dieting, the less likely it becomes. When you're in a calorie deficit, especially an aggressive deficit for a prolonged period, your body is far less likely to expend energy to build muscle tissue, even when conditions seem otherwise optimal. When food intake is running short and body fat reserves are running low, your body's survival instinct is to do everything possible to conserve energy. So why would your body take energy from the sparse and shrinking supply of incoming food or from the limited body fat reserves, which is energy needed to prolong survival time during a food shortage, and use it to build tissue, muscle, that's only going to cost more energy to support? It makes no biological or evolutionary sense. When there's an energy shortage, stored energy must be used to fuel activity and basal metabolic needs as the top priorities. The more aggressive the deficit and the leaner your body is, the less likely it is that any of this precious energy will get diverted to help fuel the muscle building process. If muscle growth does take place when energy is in short supply, it's surely not taking place at the optimal rate. There has to be a compromise. Gaining muscle at the maximum possible rate requires a calorie surplus. Losing fat at the maximum rate requires a calorie deficit. You can't be in a calorie surplus and a calorie deficit at the same moment. Therefore, there's large differences in the nutritional strategies you have to use to gain muscle and lose fat with optimum efficiency. If your goal is fat loss, the recommended deficit usually falls somewhere between 15% below maintenance and 30% below your maintenance level. If you're a large active male, your maintenance level might be around 3,000 calories per day. So a calorie target for fat loss would probably be somewhere around 2,100 and 2,500 calories a day. If a typical male wanted to gain lean body mass at the fastest possible rate, he would probably aim for about 3,300 to 3,600 calories per day. That's a 1,000 calorie difference between an optimal calorie intake for fat loss and an optimal calorie intake for muscle gain. The two programs are at completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Hormones and energy partitioning. Explaining fat loss and muscle gain by only discussing the calorie balance model would be overly simplistic. A deficit doesn't guarantee 100% fat loss. You could be in a deficit and lose muscle, not fat. A calorie surplus, on the other hand, doesn't guarantee 100% muscle gain, as we know all too well. You can be in a surplus and gain fat, not muscle. The key is to partition as much of that surplus into lean tissue and have as much of the energy deficit withdrawn from fat tissue as humanly possible. Anabolic and catabolic hormones are primary players in the partitioning of energy and nutrients. Simplified, here's what energy partitioning means. Number one, when you're in a calorie deficit and you withdraw energy from the body, where does the energy come from? Do you pull from fat, glycogen, muscle tissue, or body proteins? Two, when you have a calorie surplus and you deposit energy in the body, where do you store the excess energy? Fat, glycogen, muscle tissue, or other body proteins? You see, hormones are like traffic cops, directing energy and nutrients down one road into cells or down another road out of cells. And these endocrine factors are influenced by weight training, as well as lifestyle, including sleep, stress, diet composition, your state of health, and a lot of other factors. The same concept applies to hormones and energy partitioning as it does with energy balance. You have anabolic hormones, which are responsible for the depositing of energy into tissues or the building of tissues, and you have catabolic hormones that are responsible for the mobilization of energy from tissues or the breakdown of tissues. Because these hormones are antagonistic to one another, you don't release them at the same time. So building processes and breakdown processes are not occurring simultaneously. For example, glucagon is antagonistic to insulin. Cortisol is antagonistic to growth hormone and testosterone. In fact, the testosterone-cortisol ratio is often used as a measure of the anabolic status of your body. Furthermore, while in an aggressive calorie deficit and a dieted down state, you are far more likely to be releasing predominantly catabolic hormones. So while muscle gain and fat loss are clearly not dictated by calories alone, your body is simply not set up to gain muscle in a deficit or to put on muscle and lose fat at the same moment in time. A new perspective on body transformation goals. It may seem like I have just spent a lot of time discouraging you from trying to gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. In one sense, that's true, but this was necessary to lead you into looking at body transformation from a new perspective. You may have started listening to this thinking that there are three possible body transformation goals. One, fat loss, also known as cutting. Two, muscle gain, also known as building. Three, gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time. Maintaining your current body composition is another possibility, but I'm assuming that you're listening to this because you want to make some kind of change or improvement in your results. Many people are satisfied with their present body weight, but very few people just want to stand still and make no body improvements at all. So rather than view body transformation as only three possible goals, I'm suggesting that you change the goalposts. I recommend choosing one primary goal, building muscle or burning fat. However, during that program, which has a main focus, you can also choose to pursue a secondary goal as well, if that's appropriate for your situation. In other words, set a primary goal of gaining lean body mass with a secondary goal of losing a little bit of fat at the same time. Now, that may not be gaining huge amounts of muscle and losing huge amounts of fat at the same time, but it's a welcome departure from the traditional bulking approach where you gain a whole ton of fat along with the muscle. Alternately, you could set a primary goal of fat loss and think of gaining a small amount of muscle as a secondary goal. Unless those certain X factors are present, you probably won't see any huge muscle gains during your fat loss program. However, by using the Holy Grail techniques, losing a lot of fat and gaining a little muscle at the same time is entirely possible. That is also a welcome departure from the muscle loss problem that so many people experience when they diet to lose fat. These new body transformation goals could be categorized like this. Goal number one, focused fat loss. That's traditional cutting or going after maximum fat loss. Possible goal number two, focused muscle gain. That's traditional building or maximum muscle gain. Number three, fat loss first priority, concurrent muscle gain secondary goal. And the fourth one, muscle gain first priority, concurrent fat loss is the secondary goal. So essentially, we have gone from two possible goals, muscle gain or fat loss, to four possible goals, and we have developed an entirely new system for achieving the goals number three and four, the body recomposition goals. Selecting a goal is easy. There's three considerations. One, if you're significantly overweight, choose focused fat loss and think about muscle gain or body recomposition goals later. Two, if you're skinny or underweight, if you're the ectomorph body type, choose focused muscle gain. Three, if your body fat is at least in the average satisfactory category or better if you're already lean but you want to get leaner, take your pick out of the four goals based on your top priority at the moment. If you're not sure, you can use my body fat rating scale, which is published in my Holy Grail ebook, to help you decide if you're lean enough to pursue a Holy Grail body recomposition program or whether you should focus on fat loss. When you have high body fat, approximately 20% or higher for men or 25% or higher for women or thereabouts, it's best to focus single-mindedly on one goal, fat loss, and maximize your fat loss without introducing any compromise or delay. If focused fat loss is the right goal for you, I would recommend checking out my complete fat loss program. It's called Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. Once you've got your body fat level down into the fair, good category, then you can shift gears and start working on gaining lean muscle. If you decide that focused fat loss is the right goal for you, I recommend referring to my complete fat loss program, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, because that is a focused fat loss program when fat loss is your primary goal or when you're overweight. Once you've got your body fat level down to the fair to good category, then you can shift gears, come back to the Holy Grail program, and start working on gaining lean muscle. In part two, I'll be explaining the nutritional techniques that'll increase your chances of achieving these new Holy Grail body transformation goals.